Ezekiel chapter number 18, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth, and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, The way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for just this opportunity. Thank you for the safety to give the buses on the way here this morning. I thank you for the folks here in this room. Lord, these are many of these are the folks that we're talking about this morning. They've made a decision in their life to serve you despite what their previous generations have done. And Lord, I pray that you just help them, bless them. I pray that you would help those that aren't able to be with us this morning. I think of Brother John and Miss Terry and many others, Lord, that weren't able to come, but especially them. I pray that you just be with them, strengthen them, give them the grace that they need. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity once again. Help the preaching services to follow. Help the activities afterwards. I pray that you just be honored and glorified in everything that's done, everything that's said. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at this this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 18 gives us a very interesting passage. It gives us a very interesting situation. We've got three generations here, okay? And I want you to look at verse number 2. The Bible says, "What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge?" So basically, this chapter deals with a generation and what we would maybe say is a generational consequence for their sin. Okay, so you've got one generation that doesn't do what's right, and then the next generation that may do what's right. And what God is saying here is, I'm not going to necessarily hold that person accountable for the sin of their father. Now, I'm going to explain this because there's two different things that the Bible talks about when it talks about generational consequences, okay? But let's look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father." So we have the soul of the Father. It doesn't group them all together, all right? Each one of us, myself, yourself, we all have a soul. And God holds us accountable for the things that we do, okay? You're held accountable for the things you do, all right? Me and my dad, we both have a soul, and I'm held accountable for the things that I've done in my life. My dad's held accountable for the things he's done in his life. But I'm not held accountable for the things that my dad has done in his life. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I am not held accountable for the sins of my father. Okay? And my father's not held accountable for my sins. I'm held accountable for those. Okay? We see that in verse number 4. "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." All right? So the one that doesn't, you know, the one that is, you know, held guiltless, that is the one that lives. Now, you say, "Brother Chad, this is talking about a person working," okay? But you know what? When I got saved, you know, Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, washed me guiltless. Okay, so I have sinned, all right? And I have sinned, and I would be held accountable for my sin. But because of the grace of God, when I got saved, my sins were erased as far as what God sees, okay? And so that's not what it's talking about here. It's not talking about, well, you got to work your way to heaven. That's not, you know, this is talking about everyone is held accountable for your sin. Now, everyone has the opportunity to have that sin erased, to have that sin washed away, but we are still held accountable for the good that we do and for the bad that we do, all right? And we see that later on. But we have here in Ezekiel chapter number 18, okay, I see three generations, okay? I see three generations here. The first generation starts in verse number 5. "But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right," okay, and it talks about this man all the way down through verse number 9. "Hath walked in my statutes," look at verse 9, "hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just." So who is just here? The man that just did all these things, okay? The way he lived his life, all right, he was just because of these. "He shall surely live, saith the Lord God." Here's the second thing, second generation, verse number 10. "If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things." All right? And we go all the way down to verse number 13. "Hath given forth upon usury, hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon who? Him. Okay? The son. So we've got the grandfather who lived a righteous life. All right? And then we have a son who lived a wicked life. Now, is the son justified because of the father's good actions? No. Bible clearly says that. He shall die. Okay? So the son is not justified by the father's actions. The father, okay, is not condemned because of the son's actions. All right? Everyone is accountable for themselves. Now, look at verse number 14. Here's the third generation. Here's the grandson. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like. So there's a grandson that's looking at his father and says and sees the things that he's done, the wickedness that he's been in. And the Bible says he doeth not likewise. He doesn't do the same things that his father does. He does more about what his grandfather did. Okay? I want you, and we're not going to go to the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. We're not going to go to those. But I want you to think in your mind. Remember how many kings the Bible talks about? And remember how it so often changes. You know, one king does, you know, and this king did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. As did who? His father. What's the one man's name there that's put there a lot? David. As did David his father. And then the opposite is said about some of them, you know. And so did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord and followed not after the ways of David his father. Or it would sometimes say, and did that which was evil according to the ways of his father. Depends on what his father did. All right, and we're gonna talk about this morning some, because in this room, there's a lot of people, I believe, you know, you probably would say, a lot of people in here would say, Richard, I've got good parents, okay? Some of you have godly parents, if they're still alive, or if they have passed on. I want you to think about this, because in this room are a lot of first-generation Christians, what I would say true first-generation Christians. Now, some people may say that, okay, and I'm just going to use my family for example, okay? My grandparents, you would say, they would say that they were saved, quote unquote saved, okay? But, and I think they were, all right? But they weren't really, they didn't live their life like most of you live your life. Does that make sense? Okay? I mean, I think they were saved, and I honestly, they had a clear testimony of salvation, but they weren't a sold out Christian. Okay? My mom and dad were more sold out Christians. Okay? They went to church. They believed in, and they plugged into what was going on. Okay? So I would say, yes, maybe, honestly, I would consider my family, myself, more of a, like a 2.5 generation, if that makes sense. Okay? But what happens is there has to be the generation that says, no, I'm not going to sin. No, I'm not going to go in the ways of my father if it's wicked. Okay? There has to be that generation. Because what happens if you don't, these things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Why do we have the problems in our society that we have today? Is because there hasn't been a group of people as a whole in our nation that has stood up and said, no, we're not doing this. We're going to live our lives righteously. Okay, so we're going to talk about this morning. I want to tell you this. God gives to everyone a free will. Every one of us, every one of you have a free will. Okay, and I think I don't know a lot of your testimonies. In fact, I told my wife, I think it was Thursday, we went to get our usual dates. A lot of you understand this. A lot of your dates, I think at this point, you know, when you guys go out together, it's probably, you know, you go to the doctor, you know, that type of thing. Ours is, I go get supplies for church. Like if I got to go get material or something, I'm like, I got to go to Terre Haute and get some stuff. You want to come with me? And that's what ours usually consists of. Or I have to go make visits or something. So that's our time we get to. But I was telling her, you know, I'd like to be able to sit down with a lot of you, because I think in this room there is a lot of first generation Christians, the generations that you experienced, part of your life was experienced in the world. But at some point, you know what? You had to make the decision to, and you know, when God spoke to your heart and you got saved, you had to make the decision to, I'm not going to live that way, even though maybe your parents somewhat lived that way, or, you know, I don't know everybody's history. But there at some point, if it wasn't your generation, there had to be a generation. Bob and Donna Ross was that generation for their family. They were first generation Christians, okay? And then we got second generation Christians because of the first generation, all right? And third generation, and fourth generation. It's sad in our Christianity that it seems like three or four generations is the most we get. Think about that. Three or four generations is the most you get before it goes back the other way. And I wish I had the magic, you know, the magic formula that, you know, you could be the fifth, the sixth, the seventh generation. You just don't see that. You don't see that. At some point, you know, how many people have you talked to in visitation that says, well, my grandpa's a Baptist preacher? And they're living like, I talked to a guy in Linton the other day. It was that same story, and he was very upfront with me. You know, he thought that basically that, you know, he spoke very irreverently of God. You know, it wasn't God, it was the man upstairs. Is, you know, I think we'll come to an agreement when I stand before him. No, you're not going to come to an agreement. You come to that agreement here. All right, and I tried to explain that to him. He's like, well, I just lived an extravagant lifestyle. And that's exactly what he said. I've lived an extravagant lifestyle. But my grandpa was a Baptist preacher. And it's like that gets him off the hook. No, every one of us is held accountable for the sins that we do. That man is held accountable, and he's going to die, and he's going to stand before God, and he's going to sing a different tune. I guarantee it. Okay? But every family has to have that generation. I would love to be able to, you know, I guess that's why sometimes I fight so hard for the young people, is because a lot of them are, they're creeping up on the third and fourth generation. And I don't know what it is that keeps a family where you've got six, seven generations of family that's all serving God. At some point, it seems like you've got this straying away. We see that in Ezekiel. The father served God, but the son didn't. And then the grandson saw the wickedness of his father, and he decided, hey, I'm not gonna live this life. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do what's right. And you know what? The sins of his father, he wasn't held accountable for those. Okay? Now, are there consequences because of the sins of the fathers? Yes, I mentioned this last week. Remember we talked about idolatry last week? And idolatry is one of the things that God says, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generations. Now, are they held accountable for that idolatry? I don't think so. From what I understand in the Bible, you're not held accountable for the idolatry of your father. But listen, if one generation leaves the will of God, how many generations will it take before another generation comes back to God? All those generations in between have to deal with the consequences of a generation that left the will of God. All right? So let's go to, and you probably wouldn't have to go there, but let's go over there. Romans chapter number 6. Everybody knows this verse. God holds everyone accountable for the decisions that they make. Romans chapter 6, everybody knows this one. We could go through the Romans road. Part of the Romans road is just trying to help people understand that, okay, they are held accountable for their sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages, you are held accountable. You have to pay the wages for your sin. I have to pay the wages of my sin. So Romans 6, 23, Romans 3, 10, Romans 3, 23. Go over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Not your brother, not your sister, not your mom, not your dad. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Brother Chad, what happens? Why is there a, you know, you have a succession of grandfather serves God, son serves God, maybe the grandson serves God, but the great-grandson, how many times have you seen the great-grandson serve God when the grandfather served God? Not a lot. And the great-great-grandson, not a lot. And I don't know the answer. But at some point, there is a turning away from God. But on the opposite, how many times have you seen a father really not serve God, and then his son really not serve God, and then the grandson really not serve God, but then a bus picks up the great-grandson or something like that, and he comes to church, and the rest of his future and the future of his children and the future of his posterity can all be drastically changed by one person that makes a decision, I'm going to serve God. And you know what? His posterity reaps the benefits of his decision to serve God. Let's go back to Judges, if you would. Judges chapter number, I think it's 3. I brought a chain. My brother Harrison brought this to me. I had it laying outside. You know, a chain, I'll try to talk louder, not on the microphone. A chain is very much unlike a rope, okay? Because a chain is, and I think I've used this with young people, I don't know if I've used it here. A chain has individual links, all right? A rope is all intertwined, it's all woven together, okay? You can have long threads, but it's all woven together. A chain has individual links, okay? And what's the saying, you know, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. But you know, an interesting thing about a chain too is that if I hold a chain just like this, did you notice that I can completely change the direction of a chain in one link? Completely. I can go 180 degrees and completely change the direction of a chain in one link. Okay? And I've taught this to the young people. You know, in Christianity, we need chain breakers. Because what happens is you've got generation after generation after generation that don't serve God. But at some point, you know, if you're going to change, well, you can spend your whole life just wishing, well, I just wish that I had this kind of lifestyle. Well, why don't you change your life so that you can have that kind of lifestyle? Okay? It's not about, well, I'm this way because of, my circumstances, all right? No, you're not. Okay, you may have to deal with some of the things because of your circumstances, but at some point, there can rise up a man or there can rise up a lady that says, my family isn't going to live their life like this. Okay, I'm done with the drinking. I'm done with the partying. I'm done with the consequences of my sin. My family can have something better than what I've had. And there's a lot of people in this room this morning, you were that link that completely changed the direction of your entire family. And then you've got generations following you that, you know what, they're going in the right direction. But it still comes down to one person that makes that decision. Judges chapter number 3. Judges chapter 3, let's start in verse number 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. Now, why were they dwelling among them? Because of the disobedience, okay, of their fathers, of the generations before them. They're dwelling among these people because of their disobedience. What was God's command when they first came to the land of Canaan? They were to drive out all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. But because their fathers, people that followed God, Brother Chad, why are there generational lapses? Because at some point there's a generation that cheats just a little bit. Oh, that's not a bit. Well, there are neighbors. It's okay. Okay? It's all right if we dwell among the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. It's okay that I know Pastor talks about this, but we're going to fudge here just a little bit. Okay? That's what's happened right here. Because they didn't completely obey God. Were they still following God? Yes. Did they see tremendous victories in their life? Yes. But they didn't completely obey God. All right? Now let's look what happened. Verse number 6. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Now here's two things. One of them we talked about last week. Idolatry. What causes a godly chain that you may have generations, what causes it to change? One link can change it all. One link. And you can go back in the opposite direction. Okay? Well, what happened here? So the parents didn't completely obey God. They mostly obeyed God. They mostly obeyed God, but they didn't completely obey God. And because of that, the next generation, what happened to them? They started marrying wrong. Okay, how many times? Listen, obviously most people in here are probably already married. But, so this doesn't really apply to you, but I'm going to say it anyway. How many times have you seen somebody not marry right and everything is changed? Everything is changed. And there's some people in here may say, Brother Chad, I didn't marry right. And honestly, I think if you was honest, if you don't get mad at me, if you was honest, you would say, it changed everything. It changed everything. Okay? And I'm not downing you. Okay? I'm just trying to fight for the next generation. Because we gotta tell them, all right, this is huge. Because what happened to Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived? Where did he go astray? The wives he married that turned his heart away from God. Okay? That was David followed God wholly with all of his heart. We're told that in the Bible. It only took one generation. And he followed God for a while, and then his heart was turned away after other gods. Okay, so we see they'd married wrong and served their gods, idolatry. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves, complete idolatry. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the land of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. Okay, Brother Chad, but my kids aren't held accountable for the sins that I've done. My kids aren't held accountable. If I marry wrong, God won't judge my kids. That's wrong. What happened during these 8 years? Okay, now, can these kids that are growing up in these 8 years make a decision to serve God? Yes. Absolutely. But they still have to live under bondage to this king of Mesopotamia. All right? The consequences still come. Now, when they stand before God, are they held accountable for the decisions that their mom and dad make? No. That's their decision. Okay? And when the children of Israel, verse number 9, and then the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother. All right? Younger brother, excuse me. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So we got a generation that have left God because of their wickedness, because they've married wrong, and they served, and they had idolatry in their lives. Those are basically two reasons that they left. Why did they leave? Because their parents didn't serve God completely. They didn't obey God completely. But 8 years later, God raised up a chain breaker, a man named Othniel. And because God allowed him to, for the next 40 years, so 40 years of time, all the generations that followed reaped the benefits of one man standing for God for 40 years. All right? Verse 12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, how many years? 18 years. So a child that was born at that time was 18 years old in captivity. And we want to think, well, the decisions I've made in life, they don't affect my kids. Yes, they will. Do you realize there were young people that lived their whole life basically as captives? Okay? And that's not the way God intended it. Listen, God didn't intend for his children, Christians, to live their life in bondage to the world. Okay? That's part of walking uprightly, and we've already talked about that. So then we have Ehud, another man. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon. I love this story. I don't really know why. It's just one of those humorous stories in the Bible. So Eglon's this really fat, I mean, huge man, all right? So Ehud was left-handed, and so it's kind of like everybody was right-handed, so if we was all carrying guns, your gun would be on your right-hand side. Well, Eglon, and that's the side they checked for weapons, so Ehud went, and he was left-handed, so he put his sword on the other side. Well, they didn't check that side, so he got in with this weapon. But the Bible says that the Eglon was so fat that when Ehud stabbed him, the knife went in all the way, and the Bible says the fat closed over it. Okay, now that's a pretty big guy, all right? he ate too many Big Macs. Ehud delivers him, and let's look down at verse number 28, and he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor. And there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years, because one man took a stand for what was right. Okay? You see where I'm going? You have to have those people. And a lot of you've had those people. It could have been your parents. It could be your grandparents. It could be you that are the chain breakers. All right? Now I'm going to give you one more thing before we go. And we'll be done. Because I want to encourage you. I want to thank you, first of all. Because at some point, my dad had to make the decision, we're not going to be halfway Christians, we're going to be all the way Christians. And I reap the results. My kids reap the results. But I'm still held accountable for the decisions I make. Okay? Decisions I make. And you have to make those decisions. But let me challenge you with this. There's too many times a young person needs to be the chain breaker in a family. And what happens is they get so much pressure to just, hey, it's okay, just be like mom and dad, all right? Why are you so big on this church? They call it the church thing. And they dog these young people, okay? I know a lot of young people that come here very faithfully, members, some of them, that their parents dog them. Dog them hard. Well, listen, let's look at the parents' life. Now, I'm not trying to be mean here, but wouldn't that young person be better to live a life that honors God and glorifies God? Okay? Wouldn't that young person be better to do that? than to just follow down and, okay, this is, listen, I'm going to preach a message because I'm fed up with it, but you are not the exception to the rule. Okay, everybody thinks, well, I'm the exception to the exception. No, you're not. There are consequences for things that we do, and you are not the exception. It's kind of like that man I talked to in Linton. You know, it's like he thought that, you know, he's going to be able to talk God into letting him stay in heaven. No, you are not the exception to the rule. I've said it, you get on 59 and you head south, you're going to end up in Linton. Because you know what? That's where the road leads. All right? Pray for our young people that are trying to be those chain. We're taking this trip to Arkansas. I've got some chain breaker potential kids going on that trip. I do. And this could be the time that they say, all right, I have a choice. I can go the way my parents have gone their whole life, or I can change my entire posterity's future with the decisions I make on this trip. Okay? Some of you know how important that is, because you're second, third, fourth generation. Some of you are first generation Christians. And you would say to these young people, hey, you would encourage them, don't live this life. You know what it is on the other side of the tracks. Okay? Be an encouragement to one another. I want to say thank you for those that are chain breakers. The ones that have decided, listen, I'm not going to live my life this way. There's a better life out there for me. And your kids are reaping the benefits. Your grandkids are reaping the benefits of that. So keep doing what's right. Keep doing what's right. And God will bless us for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the people in here that were chain breakers that just decided that, you know, this is not the life that I should be living. And maybe they still have to deal with some of the pressure, some of the things, the temptations of the world. But thank God their children don't have to experience that. Thank God their grandchildren don't have to experience that. Lord, help us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be a church of 5th, 6th, 7th generation Christians. Help us to always wholly obey, wholly follow, and do what you have us to do. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this place. In Jesus' name.